Blog Talk Radio.
Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who may be listening out there. This is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters, and I have a couple of announcements to make prior to getting into the show with my co-hosts Jack Jodell and Wayne Johnson. Glenn Ford from Black Agenda Report will be posting at our collaborative, the Commons Project Network. And Abair Michael in the Rush radio show is going to be hosting a roundtable with all our posting hosts for radio show. So I will keep you posted. I think that's going to be interesting. And that's the Commons Project Network online. And that's a .com. And then over at Roundtree 7, we have a new collaborator. Her name is Tisha Miller. And she writes political fiction, and it's really good. It's very left. It's very outspoken. And it's very honest stuff. So check her out at Roundtree 7. That's Roundtree and the number 7.com. And I'll bring my co-hosts on right now. So your mics are open, guys. I thought of this when I was starting out. I thought, well, I'll mute them so there'll be no, you know, we won't walk all over each other while the announcements are going on in introduction. Then I can bring you on, and I'll bet you when the playback comes around, the song is clearer and stuff because it's only one mic, right?
Well, that would make sense. Yeah, you wouldn't have the bleeding off of everything else.
You're right. I'm thinking that might, because I've listened to when we've had lead-ins before that I've played from my computer, and I think it's because I always have the mics open. And so I had you guys on mute while I was playing this song. And
Oh, good idea. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. So great. There won't be like a reverb going on or something.
Yeah. And how fitting, Mother and Child Reunion by Paul Simon, very early 70s. I'd say about 70, early 73 or so, I think, is when that came out. And
I wasn't born yet, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah. But he wasn't writing serious political stuff anymore by that point when he started his solo career. He started more poppy kind of stuff, which is still good, but and still had some body to it. But he, with the exception of the Graceland album, he didn't delve in politics too much beyond that point. So
yeah, that's
just a little note of trivia there.
That's true. One of my favorite songs besides Kodachrome is You Can Call Me Al. And of course, the whole Graceland album is just fabulous. But I've loved whatever Paul Simon writes, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm a big Paul Simon fan. Big
fan. Oh, he's great. You know,
I still have very warm feelings towards the years of Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, absolutely.
When their first
single became a hit, Sounds of Silence, it was originally recorded just as a folk song with just an acoustic guitar, and Columbia Records decided to add a backing band to those tracks, electric instruments and drums and bass and stuff, and they released it as a single, and it went to number one on the charts nationally, and while that was occurring, Paul Simon happened to be over in London. He was just hanging around for a while because I don't know what he was doing, but he was playing a little bit, and he became good friends with, of all people, Al Stewart, the British folky artist who turned into a pop icon in the 70s with Fear the Cat and Time Passages and stuff like that. And they became good buddies, and they hung around together, and I think they might have been on a few of the same bills, although they never played together in the same orchestra, or the same band, I mean. But they were hung around quite a bit and, paid each other mutual compliments, I guess.
Well, here's a trivia question that Bar Bet you can maybe win a beer on, but back in the late 50s and even the early 60s, Simon and Garfunkel went by a different name called Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry,
cute?
That's right.
Yes,
yeah.
And they had like a couple pseudo hits or something, but then after they went and went to their real names of Simon and Garfunkel, and then that's when, like you said.
And they went real big, yeah. I never heard their early hits, but I guess they were kind of regional or smaller than they were later.
Yeah,
on,
it was more New York City kind of, northeast south.
Yeah, so.
Do you remember Red Rubber Ball?
Oh, yeah. Paul Simon wrote that. And Circle had a big hit with it. Yep.
Right. That was a long time ago. I was just a little kid.
1966. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spring of 66, right about this time of year. Red Rubber Ball was, I think it hit number two on the charts.
Yeah.
And it was a big
one. There you go.
And it sold at the same time was released I Am a Rock by Simon and Garfunkel. So another group recorded a Paul Simon song and had a bigger hit with it. So, interesting.
There you go.
You never know how that's going to turn out.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you guys have been paying as much attention as the rest of the world seems to be with these abducted young women from Nigeria. The Boko Haram over there in Nigeria.
Boko Haram.
Yeah. And these, of course, are the same kind of guy. These are the same guys who, I mean, there's several of them that do it, but they abduct children too from villages. Of course, what they do is they slaughter everybody else, take the children, and put rifles in their.
Sell them into slavery.
And bayonets. No, they make them into soldiers.
Yeah,
and
the males they turn into soldiers, but the girls they.
Yeah.
They just basically sell them into slavery.
They turn them into prostitutes, yeah.
There you
Forced
go.
Prostitution. Yeah, it's terrible. And, you know, the people of Nigeria are rising up in increasing anger about the unwillingness of the government or the stodginess of the government there to do anything about it. And they issue nice statements, but they don't do a damn thing about it, and people are starting to get fed up, and I can't blame them. You know, it's really terrible. These poor girls, they're victimized, and like they are through large parts of the Islamic world, and Nigeria is part Christian and part Islamic. It's very unique mixed. But at any rate, they, just like in Afghanistan, they don't want the girls to be educated. They want them to be stupid slaves, sex slaves, or in the family tradition, they don't want them to be free. They don't want them to have an identity. They don't want them to be thinking individuals. They want them to be dominated, and that's all they want. And so they're trying to destroy their education and their ability to get educated by abducting them and you know, making money off them.
Yeah, well, it's all about being subservient.
Exactly.
It's 8,000 years of patriarchy. I mean, you know, the whole history has been so far very patriarchal. There's not very much matriarchal energy in human history right now that we know of. Right. There could have been, but what we know of, it's mostly patriarchy. And there's this God thing that is a wonderfully useful tool to bring women into the place of chattel, where, as Jack says, women are treated as subhuman, not even human. And it's crazy that in the world we live in now, I mean, we just watched, we were just speaking about Michael Sam being drafted to St. Louis as the first openly gay NFL player, and yet Nigeria, what Jack eloquently described, is going on, and it's like, when are we going to evolve here, you know?
Thought we'd entered a new century that would be more progressive and more enlightened, but I guess that was just a pipe dream, or we see little evidence of it so far.
Yeah.
Maybe these things, I'm wondering if you agree, Wayne or Jack. I mean, these things seem to be happening with a greater spotlight on them, just as things that are happening here in this country seem to be outrageous, and yet they're bringing a spotlight on how far we have not really come and yet what's available to us. And it seems to be that these incidents are huge catalysts to wake people up in general. I mean, can you see
good
what
point.
I'm saying? You know, instead of saying that we haven't gotten there, and maybe these are just the steps to, you know, a critical point that is coming.
Well, you know, if you look back at the civil rights movement in the 60s, late 50s and 60s, most people, they just didn't pay attention. They didn't know much about it until all of a sudden Martin Luther King came into prominence, Jr., and there became civil rights marches and all kinds of activity and civil rights sympathy developed in Congress, thank God. And it made things better. It took a long time, but it brought about the Voting Rights Act and the Equal Housing Amendment and all that stuff, equal housing opportunities and all that stuff. And those were they were mainly dreams years before for minority people. And like I say, not too many people knew about it, and it took a breaking of it into the news, and with riots and other stuff too, and marches, for it to become well-known and for people to develop their sympathy for it. And that's when things, it began like a man walking, and then all of a sudden it began like a locomotive starting up, and then all of a sudden it became an unstoppable train. So let's hope that some of this ignorance that is out there that was so prevalent years ago and now is in tiny pockets here and there, let's hope that we can overturn some of that stuff. And then there's a good opportunity that we have that we can.
Well, I know I was in my teens when H.R.F. Brown in the city of Cambridge, Maryland, a little small burb, had a racial riot, and this is what shot Governor Agnew into prominence. When he was elected, he was really the lesser of the two evils. The Democrat who challenged him for that governorship was had rhetoric like your home is your castle. In other words, if you didn't want somebody black living next to you, it was your right because your home was your castle. And at least, you know, Agnew was saying, no, we got to give equal opportunity to everybody. But after that, then it was when he started his anti-black, it's all the black folks' fault traveling around the South.
Yeah, well, he adopted Nixon's Southern strategy, and that was to his detriment and to everybody.
Exactly, the Southern strategy. So, but here, in the past, I've written on that was, man as a species was not placed here on earth from heaven by angels, as some religions would teach, but rose up into the Homo sapiens, the humanoid primate he is today, from angry ancestral apes who were ever evolving in intelligence, some more so than others. So in other words, the others haven't come up here yet. We're trying.
Right. What were you saying, Gwen?
Gentlemen, I've really got to get some kind of microphone switch here. You got it.
Okay.
What my point was, though, topically about, you know, what's going on right now, so many things seem to be triggering, exploding really quickly. And of course, it's one of the reasons is because we have all this news available, the 27-4, you know, cycles and all that. I realize that, but still. It was, you know, Reagan was president and he didn't do a GD thing about AIDS, which was serious, and people knew it, and doctors knew it, and the CDC knew it, but politically, it wasn't paid attention to, and then it became such an epidemic, and then today, or yesterday, actually, we watched the first openly gay NFL player get picked by St. Louis. That's one thing, but things are happening shotgun quick now. Like Ukraine, the Ukraine, in Ukraine, I don't mean to say the because that's not perfect. Ukraine, the what really happened and videos that were shot during the beginning of May, those firebombings and stuff, are being disseminated through social media right now that show that there was a lot more death and a lot more people died and a lot more instigation was going on by the very people who have taken a seat of power now, who are backed by our government. And this is something that has broken loose from Ukraine with Twitter feed, as usual, in the last, I guess, 48 hours, it's all over the place. There's all kinds of videos and things. And, of course, it's being ignored by mainstream media. And it'll get to other media outlets like Tom Hartman and Democracy Now! In the next week. It's amazing. Now, what happened over in Nigeria, instead of it laying low for so many months or even years, because of the fast ability for us to get information now, people all over the world know what's happening. And I'm just bringing it back around to that point, Jack. Could these be catalysts of greater change?
Well, certainly, and they are. Let's face it, they are. And the whole OWS movement was covered reluctantly at first by the major media, and then they distorted the message and stuff. But I mean, it arose out of nowhere from in Egypt, the Egyptian Spring. That's where it all started, and we saw it. You know, we knew about it before anybody else. And that's why it's so important. And you can't. We already know you can't trust the major media because they're corporate tinged, and they only present what they want to present, or very reluctantly they'll present anything else, but only they'll minimize it and not magnify it the way it should be. But so that's an important function of the social media.
Or they lie. I do.
Oh yeah, they do that.
They lie. I saw their. I saw where there was a report about that's ongoing about the young woman this week who was convicted, and I'm looking this up. You heard about her, the Owls protester who eyeballed the or elbowed the police officer who grabbed her from behind, went on trial, and they found her guilty. And then nine of the jurors wrote letters to the what do you call it? To the judge, asking him not to sentence her to any kind of time or prison because she might have been guilty of assaulting an officer, but you know she didn't realize what she was doing, and the officer was stepping beyond his
as they often do.
Yeah. Yeah.
They treated all of the different Occupy outfits. I mean, after Homeland Security came through all of these police departments, it's like they gave them the go-ahead to be brutal and cruel and to do exactly what they wanted to do. And it's incredible to me that I think folks are finding out about these things. I mean, in the city of New York right now, folks are having protests right now, today, and all week long that are protesting this this young lady being on trial, you know? And I'm looking right now to give you her name. It's terrible. Her name is, even Stephen here, Cecily McMillan. She was convicted of a felony assault of a police officer for elbowing him in the eye as he grabbed her to arrest her during a clearing of Zuccotti Park. And all of these people that were on the jury have now written to the judge, Judge Ronald Zwiebel. Is his name? Where do you get a name? Anyway, and the only one who has actually covered this trial has been I think Democracy Now! has covered some of it. The break, you know, going on, and The Guardian over in England.
Yeah, what a great news publication, The Guardian, over out of London, I believe. Incredibly good. They're so reliable, and they jump on stories very well, and they research them too. They don't just print stuff. They don't print stuff and run with it the way Fox News does, you know. And so you can trust them. You're reading The Guardian.
Well, and by the way, the update on the conviction of Cecily McMillan, that was reported by Dave Lindroff, and he actually published that through the Grenville Post, which is somebody who reposts a lot of Roundtree 7 and stuff, the Grenville Post online.
Well, hopefully she'll win. She'll have an appeal and she'll win the appeal. I can't imagine her being sentenced on a felony charge like that to any kind of punishment, let alone even losing the case. You know, in a situation like that, you know, let's face it. We've had this discussion before, and we'll undoubtedly have it again. We're brought up in this country to believe that, oh, there's truth and justice for all. That's not the truth. That is not true at all. There's no justice in many cases, especially if you're a minority or if you're poor. And your justice goes right out the window. And the same is true if you don't have a lot of money. If you have a lot of money, you can buy your justice. It's happening in Congress. It's happening in the legislation centers across the country, and in the courts. You know, you get real slick lawyers hired with the outside money, and the next thing you know, what you want to see happen doesn't happen, and it's pervasive, and we got to stop it.
Yes, true.
There's a lot of really strange. Wayne, can you hear me? You want to give me a test?
Yeah, you're very faint, but I can still hear you.
I'm actually, you're coming in real fuzzy.
Oh,
yeah. Pull your microphone out of your headset and put it back in. See if that that clears it up.
How's that? Is that a little better?
Yeah, there's a little background noise. I don't know what it is, but you're stronger sounding. And Gwen sounds okay now, too. We have these little technical glitches, folks. We're sorry about it, but it happens every now and then, and we got to battle it.
Here in Columbus, I think we're having some issues with cell towers.
So
it's more the infrastructure than anything that we're doing.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Do you want to hang up and call in, and I will answer?
Yeah, let me try that.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Well,
stuff happens like that, and it's you know, and atmospheric conditions enter into it and all that stuff, satellites and sunspots on the sun and the whole nine yards.
It's because we're online, too. It's virtual.
Right.
So it's digital. I'm sorry. It's digital. Did you read where, speaking of the Guardian, I saw this really crazy post that the French are importing Chinese police to be drafted into Paris to help protect tourists. Did you see that?
No, that's an interesting development. My God.
The French, no kidding. I have to tell you, I always enjoyed France myself. I never felt Okay, Wayne, you there?
Yeah. So I sound much better now.
Oh
you
yeah.
You sound great.
You're very
okay,
clear.
Okay. Good.
You sound like I remember you, my friend.
Good. So the foggy was wasn't in my head.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know if you all noticed, but there's been a meme generated. The First Lady did a hashtag, Save the Girls, from the Nigerian abduction case, and was photographed, and it was all over the news system. And there have been a lot of people that have taken issue with Mrs. Obama doing that. I am not one. However, a lot of folks who are against the violence committed by this country use that as a vehicle to say, well, you know, they redid the picture with the sign saying, you know, my husband has killed more children with drones and that kind of thing, which is a true statement. But I think what happened there is that it's like one of those things that backfires on especially us lefty lefts when we begin doing that kind of thing.
We're twisting the truth. We're making it serve our own purpose. And you got to tell the truth straight. You can't lie about it. You can't distort it. That's Fox News technique.
Yes, that's what I said. I said this is like
we're above that.
Yeah, lowering ourselves to the level of the imbeciles is not the way to do it. And I know people are angry and they're looking for tools to use, but we have to have some cooperation. And people who don't take the moment to step back and cooperate, I mean, it doesn't serve us at all. We really need that cooperation.
And, you know, if the truth be known, Gwen, here's an important point, too.
Uh-huh.
The First Lady gets a lot of airplay and a lot of press in this country and sometimes in other countries for a little bit. But I'll tell you what, she has a little tiny bit of influence on her husband, but she doesn't have anywhere near the amount of influence that people might think she has. They have very little influence as far as official policy directives go and stuff like that. All they can do is lobby for a particular case. Or a particular cause, and oftentimes they're not very successful. And she has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with drone strikes. Now, I don't like drone strikes. I think they've been misused. I think they've been overused. I abhor the amount of people that have died, innocent people who have died because of the use of them, and I detest them. But that doesn't mean that she has anything to do with it, or that she should be attacked, or that signs around her should reflect that, you know, lying stories about her husband, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
let
me interject here, Glenn, to say that, well, you know, okay, we want to point out, unfortunately, what's going on in Nigeria, and then someone says, well, we're killing people with drones. In logical argumentation, that is known as a divertive argument. It's really
right,
a childish
point.
Attempt of saying,
yes.
Like, you were caught breaking windows, throwing stones, but as soon as you were caught, your reply was, well, Johnny was throwing them too. Well, it doesn't
yeah,
mean,
right,
you know, who gives a damn if Johnny was doing it? That's not the point. You were caught throwing stones. Johnny's got his own issues to have to deal with. So when someone wants to point to that, it's a divertive argument, which in logical argumentation, you've lost your case right there.
It's basically where this is going on is in the revolving, you know, headline of social media, and people use any tool available. It's just, I think what I'm talking about is a form of ethics. Having some value to your message, it would be better, because I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but I mean, Fox News, Fox News actually mocked the picture and the hashtag Bring Back Our Girls, and George Will, that incredible asshole.
Out of touch,
totally
big time.
Out of touch, like most of them in D.C., basically said the same thing as the left saying about Mrs. Obama. He just wasn't, you know, he was saying, you know, how ridiculous or whatever, whereas others got a little more crazy with it. But it's that just shows you that it brings us to when we begin to use, you know, make tools like that to get a point across, we're losing the game. Hamas pulled a dirty trick this week, too. The Hamas video came out where a children's video where the kids are being instructed by the animated characters to hate Jews and to carry guns.
Well, that's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not the way to, you know, that's not the way that most Palestinians think in Gaza. They want it silence, and they do want
They just want to live and let live. They want to be free and do things their own way without any interference, just like we want for ourselves, you know. Hey, I don't know why people can't understand that it's okay for Israel to do it because they're our ally. What kind of crap is that? It's not okay. On the surface of it, it's not okay. So it's not okay, period.
Right.
I agree with you. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to the, I guess, the Sunday shows. Did you guys watch them today? Or
I watched Sunday morning and then a little bit of, I can't think of his name, that follows it. Sunday morning is usually the one I like.
Yeah, I watched that too.
I watched a little tiny bit of Democracy Now, but it was a rebroadcast of something that I had seen previously, also in small segments. So I'm not really up to date as to what the current pundits were saying on the local on MSNBC or anything like that. I didn't know what they had on today.
Well, Marco Rubio, the Republican senator from my state, has been, you know, he's been opening his mouth deeply about climate change in denial. And basically right now, Miami is going through minor floods from rising sea levels just about every month. I mean, this guy has got to have his head so far shoved up, never mind. He's really, I mean, to open his mouth about how the heck does he expect to get reelected, I don't know.
He's hoping for money, big-time money coming from anti-environmentalist groups. That's what he's looking
for. The Koch brothers alone would give him millions and millions.
With the Koch brothers.
Yes. Right now they figure that it's noticeable that Miami has a sea level rise of 8 inches. Norfolk, Virginia has had to, roads that are running along the coastline have had to be at the tune of millions of dollars been built up and raised mm-hmm. up because the ever-increasing high tides are encroaching in on and flooding the streets.
Wow.
It's a very short-sighted approach to solve the problem.
We saw what's going on with New York City. I mean, New York City is vulnerable now to flooding at horrible levels. They're going to have to do something incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. As I sent you a note there, we had a little discussion about this at work, and of course there was those who read the Drudge Report, and you know, basically, when did science become a conservative / liberal agenda? You know, science facts are science facts.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
When they were saying, oh, no, there's no global warming, I don't believe in global warming, I just simply fired back at them, saying, look, okay, well, let me see your research papers that you've submitted to the scientific periodicals so they can be reviewed by your peers, and let me see and what their comments were on your so knowledgeable reports. Of course, I get this deer caught in the headlight look like, what the hell are you talking about? What, you know? I said, that's the way this works.
That's a great way to refute that, Wayne. I love that. That's great.
Well, yeah, but, people are listening to Marco Rubio say, and I quote him, I do not believe that human activity is causing these dramatic changes in our climate the way these scientists are portraying it. Are you kidding? This was on ABC this week.
He's an idiot. He's playing up to the Koch brothers. Who does he think is doing it then? Zebras? What's wrong with this guy?
Well, here's another point. The Koch brothers, you know, basically the scientific community told them, look, put up or shut up. Do your scientific research. Submit it to, you know, to be reviewed by the scientific peers.
Right.
So the Koch brothers went out and spent close to the tune of $300,000. They handpicked their own climatologist and turned him loose to do the study, look at the evidence, and he said, and the report came back saying, yes, there is global warming, and yes, it is man-made. Did the Koch brothers promote and send out now their own funded report? Of course not.
Of course
they're
not.
They're in the hydrocarbon industry.
It'll damage their business interests. They want to be able to do whatever they damn well please, and to hell with anybody else.
Exactly. So, like I said, the Koch brothers, from their own funding, know that, yes, there is global warming, and, yes, it is man-made.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they don't have the honesty to put forth and say, yeah, we were wrong, this is what our own hand-picked climatologist said, then they have no validity at all.
They ought to have the courage, and they ought to have the decency and the respect for the human race, let alone the environment, to acknowledge their error, and they ought to do something about it. They've got the wherewithal to do something about it. Why don't they do it? No, they want to make easy profits off natural gas and oil pipelines, and that's all they care about. That's the only thing they care about is their money. They want more money. Yep. They want more of it.
Well,
the largest thing was, go ahead, Gwen.
Well, in the Florida House here in 08, Rubio basically was, he knew exactly. He helped pass a law directing the state's Department of Environmental Protection to develop a carbon emissions capping system. And he's distanced himself from that vote because it does go against the big contributors and the fossil fuel industry and the profiteers. And Jay Lyles, who's on our friend Rick Spezak's Progressive News Network quite a bit, he's the head of Florida Wildlife Federation, he's the guy who lobbied for that bill, told the Miami Herald in 2009 that Rubio had set the stage for cap and trade to happen. So basically, it's a great way to say that, it's a great way to say, well, I'm voting for whoever's going to pay me to vote for whatever way they want it. Vote
right.
It's pretty
late. Well, that's the Republican Party, period.
And that's about it. And, you know, let's face it, Rick, it's Rubio.
Too. You know, it's
yeah.
Just,
Rubio has ambitions for higher office. He wants to be president. He thinks he's qualified to be president. I see him as a very green, naive young shit ass. That's all the way I see him, and I can't put it any more politely. I'm sorry. I don't like the guy at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So many people don't understand exactly what greenhouse emissions are and how it works and what's going on. And
Glenn, let me interject this for the listeners. You know, when I hear someone, well, plants inhale CO2 and breathe out oxygen, you know, CO2 is not a problem. And I said, and here's my reply back to them. I said, when you burn a hydrocarbon fuel, like if you pull your car into your garage, close the garage door, you would die of carbon monoxide. So how is it it becomes carbon dioxide? Why are we talking about carbon dioxide? Again, I get that deer caught in the headlight look like they have no idea. They know, understand what I've said, but they have no clue because they haven't been fed that propaganda information.
Right.
And basically what it is, the ozone, which is O3, three ozone oxygen molecules, has a very electromagnetic link to each other. And the radiation from the sun can break it apart. So now you have O2, and then you have this free oxygen molecule floating around. When carbon monoxide, one carbon, one oxygen, gets up into the atmosphere, the electromagnetic bonds will grab that extra floating oxygen molecule, pull it into itself. Now you've got carbon monoxide morphing into CO2, carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide, right.
And that's where you get the issue of the concern of the carbon dioxide in the upper atmosphere.
Well, you can also explain it in a very easy-to-understand sense, Wayne. You can just tell people that, hey, water is necessary, and the right amount of water is ideal for your body. But if you have too much water, you drown.
You drown.
It's as simple as that. You know, these people, they can't be so stupid all the time. They got to understand.
Well,
there's
you
too much
to
carbon dioxide
thinking.
In the air, and it is dangerous. Yes, trees give out carbon dioxide, or they take in oxygen and give off, or whatever. I can't remember.
Yeah, they take in carbon dioxide and give off oxygen, yes.
Yeah,
well,
right.
And here's my reply back to them,
dandy,
too.
But just because trees do it doesn't mean that we can do it at an accelerated rate constantly in increasing amounts all the time. That's insane.
Well,
it's a question
there's
of level.
The issue. There's the issue. First of all, I fall back in. I say, okay, do you have a tree that's 3 miles tall to start bringing in this carbon dioxide? No, you don't have a tree 3 miles tall. And and the thing is yes, this is a true statement, but the thing is we are now today producing more carbon monoxide to become eventually carbon dioxide for the trees to take it in. We're producing more than what the planet can absorb.
Well,
that's how it's getting into the upper atmosphere.
Deforestation is still going on at an alarming rate. And anyone,
kudos, Gwen. Kudos, exactly.
And deforestation is a very serious thing, very serious thing. It harms humanity. But where our real supply of oxygen comes from is from bathos, the algae blooms
in the ocean.
And they're being systematic, they're being chemically retarded, and they're being destroyed right now by what the fossil fuel industry is doing to our oceans. Of course, there's all kinds of, but if it isn't that, we have places like Fukushima to, you know, gladden the day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just a massive, you know, sometimes I wake up and I feel like Kenny Rogers just dropping in to see what condition
was in. Well, let me also interject here, talking about deforestation. Of course, we all remember here of late, Washington State had the big hillside that collapsed that just buried the town and killed all the people.
Yeah.
It was right after the logging industry had clear cut all the trees on that mountainside. So when it rained, the trees weren't there to absorb it. The roots weren't there to hold back the soil. it got in, the moisture, the water got in deep,
mudslide,
over-soaked the soil, made it weak, and 20-plus people in the whole town was covered in mud. There is another example of what happens when you clear cut versus responsible forestry.
Right.
Yeah.
And Washington State is now saying, okay, we've got to start addressing clear cutting because this is happening too often in our state, these mudslides.
Well, and in places like the Amazon and the rainforest, they clear cut in the rainforest. And then,
big time.
Then they burn off what's left over on the ground. And it grows up, what grows up again in the next couple of years, they come up and they clear cut again. And what they've created are these peat bogs now that are emitting 4 and 5, 10 times more of the bad, I guess the carbon monoxide. Than ever because of the condition that the floor of the mother is left with after all of this burning and clear cutting. And
Marco Rubio, keep in mind, zebras were doing that. Remember? What did it have nothing to do with humans?
Damn zebras.
So there you go. These guys that are deniers, they're paid to deny. That's the whole thing. They are paid to deny. And they're going to destroy the entire planet because of their ignorance.
You heard me mention a couple weeks ago about the monkey wants to hold on to the shiny object until you can go up and beat him to death. Man wants to hold, again, as a primate, he's going to hold on to that shiny object, and it's going to beat him to death.
Yep.
Unless he wises up.
Right.
Well, there are some really impressive shows on television lately that are bringing the truth to people about what's going on. And there are impressive people that are, you know, it's like, look how seriously popular Cosmos is getting to be.
I've already told my
real hero, a folk hero, especially in the Nets. And there's another show that's on Showtime right now that, after it airs, Showtime allows it to go to YouTube, and it's called The Years of Living Dangerously, and there's all kinds of celebrities that are taking the lead and going out and bringing back the stories of how the planet is suffering under climate change, and it's impressive.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
And people are going to listen to the celebrities.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Well, 97% of responsible scientists who have reviewed and studied the data have all said, yes, there is global warming. Yes, it is man-made. So the other 3% either don't give a damn or they're being paid off.
Exactly. And I would suspect the latter rather than the first, you know.
Right.
They're ignorant or they're willfully ignorant because they're getting paid.
There you go.
Well, and if the government isn't paying attention to the environment,
they're bought off too.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, and the only way this is just my personal opinion. I think the only way to change this leadership that we have is to make the profiteering less profitable, and people stop buying from these companies.
Right.
Go to
these big makers.
Go, you know, stop going to Walmart. Just don't even go near it.
I'm going to say, if I can put a little plug here, there are many now companies, corporations, that are stepping up and going with renewable energy. Walmart being one where they said, okay, we will put solar panels on the top of every one of our stores, being Sam's and Walmart, across the country. That would equal electrical generation of 9 nuclear power plants.
Well, it's a good thing for them to do, but that doesn't make Walmart a good company.
Oh, no, no,
oh, no.
no, no
abusive in all other areas.
Yeah,
right.
The cost of the solar cells and the solar panels has drastically dropped. It is now capitalistic feasible to install it. The generation of electricity is enough to warrant the write-off of their investment. And basically, it's now financially feasible to make it so. Google is another one. Apple Stores is another one. Yahoo is another one. I can just, you know, several of these major companies now are stepping up and saying, yes, we are going to go to the passive solar energy, which is the solar cells.
Excuse me, but Google is also devoted itself to working with the Bloom box, the black box that was popularly being touted for about 2 days a couple of years ago through 60 Minutes and whatnot. And these are these little boxes that will produce enough energy to run a whole home for like $3,000-$4,000.
Yes, the PEM fuel cell, proton exchange membrane fuel cells.
Right, that's it. And Google has been working with that company and using half their power comes from them. Those are the kind of innovations that can make such a huge difference. It's like, it's almost, I think that's as important as these water desalinization and water decontamination little portable units that are being brought into villages all over, you know, the third world to make water potable for people.
And kudos to Google for that. Another big company that's into the fuel cell business, excuse me, is Ballard, and that's up in British Columbia in Canada. As a matter of fact, buses in Chicago are running on hydrogen-based fuel cells, the PEM fuel cells, where coming out of the exhaust is nothing more than hot water, steam,
cool.
is your byproduct. The Chicago Transit Authority has several of those buses running on that right now as we speak. It is a viable and good science, and it can happen. To give you an idea of the PEM fuel cells, when the Apollo missions were up and going up, Gemini and Apollo, they had tanks of hydrogen and running through the PEM fuel cell. That's how they generated electricity in the capsule. And when it was all said and done, that's the water that the astronauts drank up in space for the moon landings and things like that. So it's pure distilled water that you're drinking after you've generated your electric energy. It's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, it is.
Awesome. Because water is, you know, it's mandatory on this planet for these carbon-based, you know, life forms that are here on this planet. I wanted to mention, too, there was one other with the green that people are talking about right now, and I saw a lot of posts about this one, is the connection between photon exchange membrane fuel cells, by the way. Of course, David has entered the room.
Very good, David.
All right. Hi, David.
Yes, photon exchange membrane.
So the bee colonies that have been collapsing, they are definitely linked to the pesticides being used by big farming industry. And there is a definite connection with all of this happening. Several states are beginning to outlaw and ban GMO production of crops. I mean, this is hopeful stuff.
Right. Or at least making them label it now.
Right.
That industry has said, we don't want to, you know, it's corn. It's not any, we, you know, they don't want to put GMO on it because people may not buy it. Well, duh, you know.
Well, that battle was waged successfully in the milk industry, I understand, in the United States. We were the only, for a time, we were the only country that permitted GMO milk in this country through the use of those treatments they would give cows, bovine whatever they call it, growth hormone, BGH, and that would make the cows produce milk like crazy. But it would also create infections in their udders, and some of that infection would seep into the milk supply. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to drink a bunch of cow pus. I want pure milk.
Oh, how gross.
But, you know, and it is gross. But and so
yeah,
as
but
a result
right.
of that, as a result of that, major, major retailers decided to not carry GMO, that BGH milk. Thank God.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
And there's one other thing I'd like to mention, too, today. I watched a movie a month back that's, you know, just come out. Well, it's gone over to on demand, but Osage County with Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts and la-di-da. And basically they're all sitting around the table having dinner, and the young kid sits there, and, you know, the old drunks say, well, what's your problem? You're not eating. And, you know, they're in Texas, and that's big meat territory. And basically she says, well, I don't eat meat. I'm a vegetarian. And they're like, well, that's ridiculous. You're in Texas. You eat meat, you know. And so she said something that I've never heard before, but a lot of people tell me they've heard. And as, you know, I'm a healer, and I work with energy and vibration and resonant sound waves and that kind of thing, too. It's not magic. It's magic, but it's not magic. It's physics. And basically this little kid says in the movie, well, you're eating, what you're doing there is you're eating all the animals' fear. And you know what, guys? I learned that one a long time ago from my Native American teacher, who told me that, you know, there's a reason that the indigenous people hunt the way they do. They speak to the animal. They ask the animal permission to feed the tribe or the clan. And when they bring that animal down, they do it cleanly without a pain if they can. And they drink the blood from the animal's heart to honor it. And in that way, the meat is cleansed of any kind of bad feeling or fear. And it all came around to me. You know, I ain't going to be buying meat. to think that I am eating fear. And it's true, because if you're eating meat that's been caged up, and just think of the awful feeling, the awful chemicals that are released into this meat from fear.
Right.
Because we know fear causes our disease anyways. That's the miasmus for cancer is emotions. You know, our stress creates our disease, our sickness, our bad health. My God, we've been eating all of this. My goddess, we've been eating all this meat that is just, you know, oh my goodness, sit down and think about it. I wanted to mention that. I appreciate you,
good
gentlemen,
point.
Allowing me.
Oh, no. Yeah. Hey, Gwen.
The region
of the country I come from on that Delmarva Peninsula is the land of Frank Perdue. Tyson's moved in. There's more chickens growing there, I think, per capita than anywhere. The state of Delaware, southern Delaware, and the eastern shore of Maryland. And if you actually saw these chicken houses where the chickens are packed in shoulder to shoulder, if one gets ill, they just kind of pick him to death, stomp him, trample him to death. The farmer has to go through at least twice a day just picking up dead carcasses.
Yeah, I know.
Have just stampeded to death.
Guys,
disgusting.
We're at the end of the show. We've only got one minute to go here.
Darn.
I want to, once again, I want to bring to the Commons Project Network. It is a board online where a lot of us like-minded people are posting really nice shows and posts, and also it is part of the roundtree7.com, and that's the number 7, blog family. And that's who sponsors this show. So Just giving my kudos for the sponsor once again.
Great
and
people. Everybody pushing forward. Awesome.
Absolutely.
You.
Good.
Thank you, Jack, and thank you, Wayne, and thank you, David.
Thank you, Gwen and David and everybody, and Wayne, too, definitely. It's been a great another show. I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks, everybody.
Very good. Look forward to it, Jack.
Wayne and Gwen will be on next week.
There you go. I was going to say, Gwen, I'll talk to you next week. Folks, have a good day, and I look forward to next week. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye. Keep pushing forward.
There you go. And that was the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. Tune in tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for Spirit Therapy with Nicole Tomasini. Thank you for listening. Good night, Jack.
Good night, Gwen. Have a great week, everybody.
You too.